Welcome to another episode of Romance Romp. I'm your host, Queenie Allen. Today I have the resident romp sexpert, Corey, back with me today.
Hi there.
Hello. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, you're welcome. You're my favorite guest.
Oh, you're my favorite podcaster. What a coincidence.
Well, thank you. It's funny how that worked out. So first, we're going to review a book, but first I wanted to kind of do just like a general catch up with you, see how the first part of the year has been for you reading-wise, kind of touch base on that. So, Goodreads challenge. How's that going for you?
Oh, my goodness. It's like I've forgotten how to read. I've been doing such a bad job. I can't even say, like, the last book I even read for pleasure is, like, I'm having such a hard time finishing it. So I was, like, more than happy when you were like, hey, let's read a book together. Let's talk about, because I was like, okay, well, at least that gives me a deadline.
Right.
And maybe this will, like, tear something loose that's been like, you know, it's I'm disappointed in myself. How about you?
I understand that disappointment. So to date, I have read 31 books.
Oh my gosh.
That's 21% of my goal.
Oh, okay.
Right. So we're about 40% through the year.
No.
Yeah.
40% through the year.
Oh, no, no, we're not. Sorry. I was thinking about something else at work that I was 40% through.
Oh.
So sorry, bad math on that. But 21%, I feel like it's a little lower than where I wanted it to be.
Sure. I mean, arguably, you should be, what, at like 25?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
you know, it could be worse.
Yeah, that's true. So do you have a favorite book that you've read this year? It can be in any genre. It doesn't have to be romance.
I'm not sure. I can't remember if I read it this year or the end of last year, but I'm going to talk about it anyway since you're letting me.
Okay.
I like to read books by Caitlin Dowdy. She's a mortician.
Okay.
Her book Smoke It's in Your Eyes is a really interesting book for people who are interested in like what it takes to be a mortician.
Okay.
It's a lot about cremation and death. If you guys are interested in nonfiction about death and funeral rites, that's a good place to start. And so her most recent book is called From Here to Eternity, and it's more of like about the culture of death and like how Americans treat death and how other cultures treat death and just like other options for how to treat your loved ones when they die or how to treat your own body when you die. And obviously, as we'll probably talk about later, you know, death is something that's on both of our minds.
Right.
And it's, you know, I'm a goth kid.
Sure.
So I think about it a lot anyway. So that's definitely stuck with me. That's been a really great book.
Okay.
And maybe it's morbid for some folks, but.
Well, I don't think it's morbid. And I think you and I have had conversations about this before because of reasons, but how. Particularly in the United States, we have this culture where we don't talk about death.
Yeah, that's right.
So even though it's something that's guaranteed to happen to all of us.
All of us, yeah.
You know, and not trying to make it too heavy, but again, it
Sorry,
is something.
Y'all.
No, it's something that we'll all experience or have experienced already in our lives, a loss of a loved one. And so, you know, if it makes you feel good to read a book about it and kind of reaffirming and, you know, teaches you more about it, hey, why not?
So yeah. Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
how about you? Do you have a book on mind that you've read?
I've had two books this year that were standout books that I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
Next Year in Havana by Chanel Clayton, which I will keep talking about this book probably all year long. You know, it's told in past and present tense.
I love that.
Yeah. And the current Marisol, she goes to Cuba to learn more about her family and bury her grandmother's ashes. And then the story is also woven through with her grandmother's story.
Oh, that's nice.
And I keep saying it's beautiful and tragic the way that she paints Cuba as around the revolution and now a little bit. And it's women's fiction, historical women's fiction, and I absolutely love it. And I know it has a high price point on Kindle. It's like $10.
Oh, wow.
And I know that's out of my budget, but I'm lucky. But if people are able to find it at their libraries, I highly recommend it. And then my second book that I absolutely adored this year was One and Only by Jenny Holiday. It's like a bridesmaid's behaving badly, except for that's like how it's kind of categorized, but there's no real bad behavior in it.
Interesting.
It's just, you know, some fun behavior, and it's a heroine who doesn't trust herself a lot and really holds back and is reserved. I don't know. Maybe perhaps it hit on some points.
I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
Exactly. Or I think it's the woman in the mirror.
Oh.
But it's okay. And the hero that comes along, and he at first thinks she's fat and not attractive.
What? He thinks that?
Yes. Uh-oh. Like, when he first sees her, he describes her as muddy. Ugh. Right. And so he comes off kind of as a jerk, but not too jerky. And quickly, they spend time together. And he sees that she's so reserved and starts giving her the opportunity to shine. And I love those types of heroes.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about that before. Yes. Like someone who stands back and is like, here, you do you.
Right. You do you. I'm going to be here to support you.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage you, but I'm not going to make you do it.
Sure.
And I don't want to outshine you as you do it. So those were my two big ones for this year. But it's April. I'm hoping there's some more time for some more good books.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm finding hope in that last year, between October and December, it was just coming more naturally to me to read. I guess because the weather starts to kick in and right. It's colder, and you start to think, oh, it's a cozy time to mm-hmm. read, and the end of the year is coming. So right. I think it's just a natural kind of catch up. Mm-hmm. So I'm putting all my eggs into that basket.
That's okay.
I think this is the time for experiencing the outdoors.
Right.
And maybe once it's actually nice, I can read outdoors.
Right.
That would be nice.
Or like with the windows open and a nice breeze coming in. Yes. Uh-huh. You guys can't see us, but we're both like thinking about how.
Ribbon dancing.
Yes. Exactly. So are you reading anything now?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I'm reading it's the first in the Winston Brothers series by Penny Reed.
Right.
It is called Something About a Mustache.
The Beauty and the Mustache.
Yes, it's quite good so far.
Right.
I'm chipping away at it.
Right.
It's one of those books that I do kind of like to read before bed. You know, mm-hmm. Some books you sit down and you read it.
Mm-hmm.
Or like I read in the tub a lot.
Okay.
You sit down and you read it. But this one I like to read before bed, and I have to put it down because I'm falling asleep, not because I want to.
Right.
So I'm about, sometimes a book will transition. You'll be like, I like to read this before bed. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, no, this is too important.
Mm-hmm.
I have to read it while I'm fully awake in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's getting there for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like it so far. I wasn't 100% sure that I would,
mm-hmm.
but she's an author that I've wanted to start reading.
Penny Reed.
Yes. Uh-huh. And I just hadn't for whatever reason.
Sure.
And then I think you tweeted about this.
Yes.
You were like, that feel when your sister texts you at 12:15 a.m. and you're worried that something's wrong, but she's just asking for a Penny Reed book.
Right.
Which is totally, I was just like, well, because I think I had just finished Love in Other Words. And
okay.
I was like, you know how sometimes you're like, I just finished. Mm-hmm. I need something else right now.
Right.
And that's what you're great for. So I was
sure.
Like, okay, Keeney.
Yes.
Give it to me.
And I came.
You
for
did. You gave
yeah.
me like five books.
Yes.
So that was the one that I wanted to start with because
I think it's a good place to start.
Well, I've heard really good things, I think, from you and from other people about like the Winston Brothers series.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, sure. And I mean, I like a good beard. So, mm-hmm. well, I mean, I'll
I mean,
start.
Who doesn't? Yeah.
Start in the first
I mean,
of
some
the
people
series.
Don't, but whatever.
Shh.
I know. Well. So, yeah, and I think that's a good place to start with Penny Reed because she had a series before that. It's called Knitting in the City.
Mm.
Features a couple different people. And I definitely think with the Winston Brothers series, her writing has gotten stronger. The first book she wrote, it was like Desperately Seeking Neanderthal. The heroine is probably on the autism spectrum.
Really?
It's not clearly defined, but just her social interactions.
That's interesting.
You could probably
like that.
Define that. The hero was kind of like alpha-y, kind of stalkery-ish.
Oh.
Kind of like that Christian Grey, but nicer.
Okay, well.
Right. And there wasn't a lot of sex in that one. Like, it was off the page. Her second one, she did like this weird thing where it included like a chapter where they had sex and then you could read a chapter without them having sex. Like it was.
Choose your own adventure?
Essentially. Like,
that's an interesting
just
idea.
Just like if you want to read sex on the page, read this chapter. If you don't want to read sex on the page, read this chapter.
I like that. That's inclusive. I like
it
that.
It is inclusive. It felt weird to me at the time.
Sure.
I read both chapters because that's who I am.
Sure.
And I just wanted to see, but I definitely feel like her writing has gotten stronger. She actually, because I'm, which I talked about on the podcast before this, I'm a borderline, I don't want to say stalker, but when I start to like an author, I really like look at them and see other social medias and try to learn things about them. But she's like really big into STEM. She was like a in biology, like a scientist for a while.
Awesome.
So she was writing, and that kind of comes into play in some of her books. And I think she tends to write really strong heroines. They're not always likable, but that's okay.
Yeah, I like that. When it's not always like, you're just a placeholder for me pretending to be a person who's having sex.
Right.
Like, this is a person, a separate person from me.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah. So I like her a lot. She's funny. I find her books very interesting, very different than a lot of other people. And so welcome to the Penny Read Club. So.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome. So are you thinking that there are any other books that you are thinking you're going to read this year, or any other books that you really wish that you could find, like particularly in the romance genre, because that's how I'm here to help you?
I mean, I'm interested in, maybe, I think I'm already ready to see what else Penny Read has to offer after I finish this. And then, because of that thread that you posted the other day, and, you know, the questions were like, what is your favorite slow burn? What is your favorite
that,
the other? The slow burn question made me interested. You said her name is Mariana Zapata?
Correct.
So I'm interested in that. Just to kind of, I remember at the end of the year, or the beginning of the year, rather, we had like the big wrap up episode. And I said, you know, I want to start reading more books outside of my comfort zone. I want to see what's kind of out there. And I think a slow burn is a good place for me to start. It's certainly how I like my sex sometimes. Right. So maybe it's how I like my romance novel. I'm not sure.
Time will tell.
So I'm curious about what she has to offer. Mm-hmm. And it may not be for me, and that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. You know, half the stuff I pick up that's not a romance novel that I see on Goodreads, that's just a normal fiction novel, I pick it up and I'm like, oh, I can't do this.
Right.
So I expect that to happen in romance as well. And then, you know, like my holy grail book is just like a nice representation of a BDSM relationship that seems legitimate all the time.
Okay.
Like that's not to say that I haven't encountered those, but I personally don't feel like there are many of those, or enough, certainly not enough of those. Where I'm really interested in a book, if there is one that is like my own life, where it's like, you know, you live your life, you do your thing, and then you have a very clear delineation of like, this is sex time, this is what we do during sex time, this is how we are in our relationship. And I understand that romance novels are a place for fantasy, where especially an erotic romance novel is, you know, there's no need to be like, this is where my life is, this is what my job is. For those of you who have read a fair bit of BDSM books, that are, I mean, arguably 9.5 weeks is romantic, but it's not a romance novel. 9.5 weeks is like one of the BDSM literature classics. And it talks about kind of how she handles, this is how I felt while I was at work, this is how I felt while I was here. But it's 100 pages.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, okay. And I think that's part of the appeal for that book, is that you're like, it's just like the love affair. It's here and then it's gone. But I'd really like to see, like, are there authors out there, you know? And I know when we talked to Tiffany, she was like, oh, I do this in my life, and this, I'm familiar with it, you know? But, like, is somebody writing that book for someone who does it in their life, has an open door to this other part of themselves, and then writes about it? I'm curious. It may end up being like, I'm like, this is too much. This is too much like reading my own thing. But
I have two authors came to mind while you're talking. So one is Elia Winters.
Is it
Elia?
Okay.
Winters, I believe, is her last name. She has some very erotic books. One, I believe, is called Playing Naughty, Knotty. There's another one that the name escapes me. Then she has a more romantic, romance-centric three-book series, I can't remember the first one. It wasn't super romantic. I mean, super erotic, BDSM-y. The second one is more like a femdom, which I know is not your thing.
No.
And the third one was a male-male. maybe just like regular sexish, but the two, she definitely has two that were either self-published or published by like a small indie press that are way more BDSM.
Cool.
And I believe that she is definitely in the scene.
Cool.
So you may want to check her out.
Great.
And then Hold Me Down by Sarah Taylor Woods. It's a new adult. BDSM. I thought we had talked about this before, but I recommend it because she does a lot. So the heroine, I can't remember her name, but she's a college student.
Okay.
And her hero is like a teaching assistant. And they enter into a BDSM relationship. And I thought it read very well. It was very realistic. It kind of reminded me of Tamsin.
Sure. I was thinking of Tamsin when you said, yeah.
Right, where it's, you know, there's not a lot of implements being used.
Sure.
For me, where that takes me out of the story because I get too caught up in, I don't understand what this thing is, what's happening. And it was a lot about the heroine's own exploration of being in the lifestyle and what that meant for her.
Cool, yeah.
So those are just two that came to the top of my head.
That sounds great. I love the idea of, like, obviously if you're a college student and your dom is a TA, mm-hmm. you don't have a lot of money,
right.
which is why you don't have a lot of implements. Like, certainly when I was in my early 20s, I wasn't like, yeah, let me get this thing that I spent $100 on. Like, I was like, I'm going to eat some Easy Mac. Why don't you hit me with your hand? Like, you know, and so that already reads as realistic to me.
Right.
So that
I think they
might have
used like a hairbrush as like a paddle at one point.
Sure,
so, I mean, you know, but so that's just one of the things. But I'm sure. And, you know, I love putting out a call on Twitter to ask for recommendations. So we can look for that as well.
Awesome.
All right. So we're going to take a quick pause to hear a message from our sponsor. But when we get back, Corey and I will be talking about Love in Other Words by Christina Lauren. Wonderbook and Video connects over 2 million books with readers each year and has been serving book lovers for over 35 years. With locations in Frederick, Hagerstown, and Gaithersburg, Maryland, Wonderbook and Video is the only place you'll ever need to find your next read. And yes, Wonderbook and Video has a huge variety of romance novels from which to choose. Can't find something in the store? Check out wonderbook.com and for the month of April, get 15% off your next romance novel purchase in-store or online with promo code ROMROMP. That's R-O-M-R-O-M-P. Wonderbook and Video, a book lover's paradise. So Love in Other Words by writing duo Christina Lauren was published on April 10th by Gallery Books. And so I'd really like to thank Kristen Dwyer for sending us these copies.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes, this made it really well. So made it work out well for us, excuse me. So just quickly, Love in Other Words is their first foray into women's fiction. And the intro in the book describes the book as this. Love in Other Words is a celebration of the fragility of love, the beauty of literature, and the strength of true friendship to overcome anything.
Mm-hmm.
So with that little description, Corey, do you feel like that really kind of encapsulates the whole story?
I don't, actually.
Okay.
I think that that's kind of an easy way mm-hmm. to say a blurb. That maybe that blurb would really draw someone else in.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kind of blurb that I'm like, you're selling it short a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a women's fiction reader.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the kind of blurb that tests well with a women's fiction reader.
I don't know if that was so much the blurb as like in the back, because you know you're reading women's fiction when it comes with like readers group questions.
Sure.
But it kind of was like the intro to that. But, you know, honestly, like I picked up this book and I hadn't even read the blurb. Like I didn't even really know what it was about until I started reading it a couple nights ago.
Sure.
But what were your expectations going in? Because you've read other Christina Lauren books.
Yes, I'm not a women's fiction reader, as mm-hmm. I just said, but I do like Christina Lauren for like, they write, like, it's obviously not like BDSM heavy. Like, I think the most BDSM heavy one was the one in the series. Like, I think it was Rough Wild Night with, I don't know.
they all blend in, but
like,
yeah.
So I was like, you know, I don't go to them for the sex necessarily, but I keep coming back.
Right.
And it may be because the first one.
Wild Sexy Night.
Was
that Mia and Ansel?
Mia and Ansel was the first one. But that was one of my, I was thinking about this. That was one of my first romance novels. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my very first, I don't think, but it was one of my first three. And I really stuck with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not afraid to put a book down.
Right.
So, and then this whole series of those like three word, whatever, mm-hmm. they're great. They're great books. And they're like one of them has become my comfort book. One of my comfort books mm-hmm. that I just go to like, oh, right. I liked that.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's pretty high expectations. But then again, knowing that it was a different genre, mm-hmm. I was just like, whatever. Whatever you got.
Sure.
I'm going to read it. It can't be that hard to read. So I was ready for anything.
Mm-hmm. Same. I will say, like, I try to point to Christina Lauren as writing. I think they write more, like, on the edge of, like, that new adult mm-hmm. Contemporary. So, you know, late 20s-ish. Sure. I think that their dialogue is always, it's kind of like fast paced, mm-hmm. quick, witty. There's some banter. It's usually pretty sexy.
Yeah.
Which I've enjoyed. So again, like I came into this like because I do read women's fiction, not a lot, but I read it way more than you do. Mm-hmm. And so my expectations were kind of like, I think they're just going to give me a story that I enjoy. And I feel like my expectations were met.
Sure.
Maybe a little bit more even so, exceeded than that. So other than kind of how we talked about like the other ones, the previous books were kind of more sexy. Mm-hmm. How would you say any other noticeable differences?
Honestly, for me, not really. Mm-hmm. Like aside from the quote unquote lack of mm-hmm. sex, like it read to me like it was. I'm not saying that their romance novels aren't story heavy, mm-hmm. but I mean, it did lean a little bit more on a story. But mm-hmm. then again, the story these characters have to tell mm-hmm. is not a story of like, hey, we just met and we're in a relationship and we're having right. sex. It's a bigger, it's a longer story. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to lean on the story more.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even really say that I missed the sex. And I think that's because of the age.
Sure.
Like the flashbacks and everything okay. like that too. So maybe in a different scenario, mm-hmm. I would miss the like a little bit more explicit sex.
Sure.
Not that what they were doing or talking about wasn't pretty
right.
fairly more explicit than I was expecting.
Yes.
I have a note that says like this is the sexiest sex scene without sex.
Right.
That I can remember having read. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, that's great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, otherwise, it feels basically the same,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, is a good thing.
Right. So, was there anything specifically that you can point to that you liked about the book?
Well, like, when I looked at the title, I was like, what exactly does love in other words mean? Mm-hmm. Like, what could that possibly mean? Is that just, like, a title? Just like, oh, mm-hmm. that's snappy. But what I really like is that, like, I love an intelligent man.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually even really like the part. She's like, you know, they skirt around the fact that he's smart. Mm-hmm. But Macy, like, I don't know, something happens and Macy's like, you're like smart.
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I like that.
It was in one of the flashbacks when they were talking about school and he starts talking about he's a sophomore and how next semester he's going to start taking classes at the community college.
Right, right, right.
And she was like, oh, wow, you are really smart. And he's so humble about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
That he's just like, okay,
yeah,
try not to make a big deal of it.
Right, yeah. And I love that. And, like, more than anything, I'm a word person,
mm-hmm.
which this is probably my highest criticism of the book is that, you know, it's very cute how he's like, favorite word?
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite word? And when they first introduced that kind of recurring thing, I'm like, oh, how fun is this going to be? Like, mm-hmm. they're going to say it one time. Mm-hmm. But no, I was like, oh, it's a recurring thing.
Right.
Like, he doesn't expect her to have one favorite word. It's just like, what's your favorite word right now?
Right.
And I was like, that's cool.
Uh-huh.
So my criticism is they are not words that I would have chosen. but I mean, but I'm such a word nerd. Like,
right.
That's such a cool thing to introduce. Mm-hmm. And I think it made me understand the characters a little bit more deeply.
Sure.
Like, these are people who play this game.
Right.
And not only am I a word person, but I'm totally the kind of person to be like, let me just ask you this question.
Sure.
I have a question in my brain and I expect you to have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Which, ugh, can you believe not everybody has an answer for every question on the top
Rude.
Of their head? I know. So that was really great. I really liked that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, and like, I, you know, Do I think that ripe is the sexiest word in the world? No, I do not. But I did like how...
In the context of that scene.
Yeah, it was great. And it was like, oh, your body is changing. Your body is, let's say, ripening. And I was like, okay, Elliot. but, I mean, it was very cute. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's high praise and a little bit of criticism because I'm a snob.
That's okay. Yeah, I thought it was sweet. I thought it paced really well. I really, really liked the flashes between the past and the present.
Yeah, I am a sucker.
So am I.
Yeah, just like tell me all about your life story in as many ways as you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I really liked also the epistolary aspects.
Sure, sure.
Right, with the text and the emails. I always love those.
Yeah.
You know, you write a book, you include even just a little tiny portion in it, and it's going to like make me be like, oh, this is so wonderful.
I know. I don't know what it is about, like, epistolary, like, form. But it's like, this is what the people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, and maybe it's what, this is what the people are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the gap between, this is how the person is choosing to say what they're thinking.
Right.
And it makes them even more of a, like, a three-dimensional character.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So the heroine is Macy.
Mm-hmm.
And when they first meet, she's like 13 and the hero, Elliot, is like 14.
Mm-hmm.
And because her dad buys a summer home or like a vacation home.
Like a cabin, yeah.
Right, a cabin. And she has like this nice little extra room that's like her library and they hang out in there. And so all of that was like super sweet. And so to see their friendship develop, you know, from 13, 14-year-old kids that don't really fully understand, you know, the physical attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really started on that whole, like, let's just be friends who spend time together in this library. And it really developed from there. That was great.
Well, what's really precious, like, the impetus for him to buy the cabin was because her mother had passed away.
Right.
And not only did she pass away and, you know, leave this big mark in the hearts of both Macy and her dad, Duncan, but she left a list.
Right.
For the dad to be like, these are things I don't have time to say to our daughter because I think she was dying of cancer.
Right.
So I'm going to write them down and I need you to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that even Duncan was like, I'm going to do it.
Right.
It's just so sweet.
It was sweet.
And he really held to that promise that he made to his wife. And, you know, I think that's nice that the mom imparted like that wisdom to say like, you know what, when life gets to be too much, you need to take her away.
Right.
Take her away. And so it's like a nice, I mean, sure, it totally makes sense that when you go to a place to be away from your life and you meet a person, that person's going to make you feel safe.
Right.
Potentially.
Right.
And so I think that's a really easy way to build a nice bond. And so that's a nice little.
Right. And there were lots of examples also of Elliot, like, asking questions from a very, a place of kindness and compassion to understand her versus being like, where's your mom?
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. Sure. Like, he was very worldly, it seemed like. And he. Well,
Inquisitive,
yeah. But understood, but he seemed to also understand the power of his own words in asking her.
Sure.
And, you know, and I think part of their closeness came because they had like that physical closeness in that library and created a safe space for her. But yeah, so it was great. And I liked Macy a lot. I liked Elliot a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were a few things that I didn't like. We'll come back to those. But before we talk about some more specific things about like Macy and Elliot, I feel like I want to touch on something. This definitely is a spoiler alert. So if you haven't read the book, tune out now for a few minutes and then we'll come back to it. But for this book, do you think that it should come like with a content warning specific to like deceased parents?
So I think that you and I are both really sensitive to this, not because the parents are deceased, but because the way her father dies is in a car accident.
Right.
And our dad died in a car accident.
Yes. A car crash.
A car crash.
Let's rephrase that. A car crash.
But what I think, so I think it's the dad thing.
Right.
And the car thing.
Right.
If that, you know, like, I'm not someone who is walking around my life, mm-hmm. like with a open wound about it right now. But it did affect me.
Absolutely.
And I was kind of surprised. I was like, oh, you know,
yeah.
car crashes happen, dads right. die. But I was like, and honestly, the way that it is written,
mm-hmm.
where he's angry.
Right.
And he's trying to help her.
Right.
And he's trying to and it's just like this pure goodness, this
right.
vector of pure goodness, uh-huh. just like cut. I was like, yo, that is not okay.
Right.
Not that that is, you know, anything to do with how our dad died.
No.
But it was like, and, you know, I finished the book before Keeney did. And right. so I like read it
mm-hmm.
and put the book down and was like, should I text my sister?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, No. It wouldn't be
right.
fair to your experience. It,
right.
And I was like, okay. But it was enough of a conundrum. I really thought about
yeah.
like, yo, I need to tell her because this could really be upsetting for her.
Right.
So that being said,
uh-huh.
you know, if you're a person reading this, listening to this podcast, and you're like, I want to read this book,
mm-hmm.
and I'm listening for the spoiler for some reason. Like, if you have a parent who died in an unexpected traumatic car crash, just be warned.
Right.
Like, it might hurt your feelings to
right.
read about it like this.
Yes.
Because it doesn't feel great. It's great writing. It's emotional.
Absolutely. And we find out early on that Duncan has died.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't find out until much later the circumstances.
Sure.
Right. So I don't want to take away anybody's experience, but yes, a content warning. And I think for us, it, you know, other people might be like, oh, it's a non thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and looking back, there was like, there was some lead into it. Like Macy talks about how she takes public transportation.
Yeah. I wondered why.
Yeah. Because she doesn't like to drive, you
right,
know,
right,
cars
right.
are weird for her. Totally can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I was texting you because you had finished and I was finishing the book last night. And as I was reading it, I was like, oh, shit. I know what's about to happen, you know, because the foreshadowing was there. And I, you know, my heart started beating a little faster.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think I like this.
No.
But again, that's because of our own personal experience.
Yeah.
And it's not that, it, you know, it wasn't glamorized in the book. It wasn't... I don't even think it was necessarily glossed over. I may have glossed over some of the aspects of that, that, you know, just because of, like I said, because we said our own experiences, mm-hmm. where I was just like, I'm just going to skim this little piece right here mm-hmm. and move on. But then also in relation to that, you know, and she even talks about it in the book. I feel like the grief of her losing her dad and Elliot were so tied up together.
Right. And it, like when you look at the whole book as like a contextual experience uh-huh. for Macy, that it makes perfect sense in that to have them both ripped away from her unexpectedly, mm-hmm. that she would just shut down.
Right.
Just like, no.
Right.
Like, if I don't talk to Elliot, then Elliot had nothing to do with it. Then maybe Elliot's not real.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe dad's not real. Then
right.
maybe how dad died isn't real.
Right.
Maybe it's, you know, and
right.
I totally get
oh,
that.
Absolutely. Because I think you and I both have some things that on the outset seem very illogical, but yet are so wrapped up in a grief that it's hard to separate the two.
Sure.
And, you know, and so, again, that kind of bleeds into the spoiler alert that if you have a thing that is really ingrained in with your grief of something, this might hit you in your feels a little too close,
yeah, yeah.
a little closer than you would like, you know, but again, it wasn't completely overwhelming for me. But again,
yeah.
like I said, my heart started going a little extra fast
yeah.
and like.
right. Yeah,
yeah,
like the impetus for her even to like, so the whole way it transpired where
mm-hmm.
it was like he's having a problem and she's coming to rescue
mm-hmm.
him. I was like, somebody's gonna get into a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
It is New Year's. People have been drinking.
Right.
This is what's happening. And so, you know, I personally felt like, okay, she's safe. Good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're here. And then I was like, well, I know something's gonna go wrong.
Right.
And then, you know, the quote unquote big reveal of like why she stopped
mm-hmm.
talking to him. And then I was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then just boom, 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 it hits
right.
you like, no, this is what's going on.
Right.
This is how Duncan dies.
Mm-hmm.
This is why she needs to just shut herself out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, all of a sudden it was a lot. It was a lot. Okay. So we're coming back out of the spoiler alert. Now this is a mostly spoil-free zone to talk about the rest of the book. So in relation to the things that we just talked about, it made a lot of sense for Macy to be, she was closed off.
Yeah.
I can't relate to that at all. but she suffered, I mean, in the book, she's like 28 or 29-ish. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we know early on in the book that her father has passed away. Mm-hmm. So she's a 29-year-old woman who has lost both of her parents. So she's really navigating the world on her own. So to be closed off and kind of distant, particularly in relationships, mm-hmm. is not surprising,
no.
You know. And we find out later in the book that after the thing with her and Elliot mm-hm. goes on, that she hasn't really had any long-term relationships. And she's in that relationship with Sean.
Right.
Which one of my notes to myself about Sean was, Sean is distant and wrong for her.
Yeah, you know, but I can't help but have a little bit of like, I just kind of like Sean.
Sure.
Because the only reason is just because like they both like were like, you know what? Let's just be real with each other for a minute.
Oh, absolutely. Sean is not a bad guy at all. Mm-hmm. And I will say one thing that is different about this book than in a romance is so Macy and Sean are together. They live together. They're engaged to be married, although they have very loose plans. It came together very quickly. And she is still with Sean when her and Elliot reconnect. Mm-hmm. In a traditional romance, that would never happen.
They would have broken up.
They would have had to have broken up very early, or else readers, you know, would not be happy with that. So that's definitely a thing. So if you're a romance reader and, you know, perceived cheating is a thing for you, this book is not for you, because her and Sean were together well past the 50% mark. Although it's very clear pretty early on, the writing is on the wall as to what's going to happen with that.
Sure. I think that's why I particularly liked the way that they handled the mm-hmm. situation, because it wasn't like no one was upset.
Right.
No one felt like they got the bad end of the deal.
Right.
As a matter of fact, he even says like, yeah, I wish, like, I miss Ashley.
Right.
His
former spouse.
Right. And he's like, he like just is like, I get right. it. I get it, man.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is like an easy breakup is like,
Right.
Like, just bye. Yes. Great.
Right.
Now we both get closer to where we need to be, where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I understand like stuff happens and, mm-hmm. and especially like in a book, honestly, like you need there to be a little bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that when you have so many other problems going on.
Right.
Like, don't make the relationship a problem.
Right.
You know, handle it like adults, which I think they did. And yeah. I was like, easy breakup for the win.
Yeah, they did a good job with that. So let's talk a little bit about Elliot.
Okay.
So he's smart. He's handsome. He is, you know, he was great. She describes him many times as her person,
mm-hmm.
Which I love that. I love that description of, like, love. I think it kind of alludes to him being Greek with a last name like that. Or
Petropoulos, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, she also talks about Macy talks about her own skin being darker than his, though, which I thought was interesting, because although there's an implied ethnicity,
mm-hmm.
a stronger implied ethnicity with Elliot, you know, a couple times she makes it clear her skin is darker.
Right.
And potentially her mother,
I believe, is from Brazil.
Okay. So she has
or was from Brazil. Yes.
Like a darker,
mm-hmm.
like a Latina skin tone.
Yeah.
So which is interesting, because, you know, the Greek people can have pretty dark skin.
Right.
So I was like, that's interesting.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a kind of a commitment to say this person's last name is Petropoulos. Uh-huh. You only can imagine him one of five ways, let's say. And especially, like, I know Greek people. Right. And I know some fair-haired, light-skinned Greek people. Uh-huh. But you know, that's a commitment.
It is. And, I mean, that's one thing, and I wrote it down on my notes, kind of about both of them. There's some allusion to perhaps he being Greek, based solely on the last name. Yeah. I don't mean to make assumptions, but you see a name like that, one can just make an assumption.
Yeah, certainly.
Macy's dad is Danish.
Right.
Her mom is Brazilian. She talks, like, one other time about being South American. But there's no real other representation of either of them being other than some of their physical descriptions. Mm-hmm. Does that matter, do you think?
Well, so arguably, for a Greek person, mm-hmm. to have so many siblings, mm-hmm. Is a representation of, mm-hmm. of their culture.
Okay, that's fair, because he has three older brothers, and then he has a younger sister,
right.
who is born when all of the boys are teenagers.
Right.
Okay, right.
I mean, you know, this may be something that they put considerable thought into. Mm-hmm. Like, if we say the last name Petropoulos, if we say large family, mm-hmm. do we need to put tzatziki on the table?
Right.
You know, I mean, like, how much right. do we have to give it to right. you for you to say we're making mm-hmm. the Greekness fade away, or right. we're leaning too hard into it?
Right.
And the same thing can be said for, like, the Brazilian heritage that mm-hmm. Macy has. You know, what is leaning too hard into a culture?
Mm-hmm.
Especially, let's say, if you're not raised by the parent of right. that ethnicity, mm-hmm. how much is too much? And I think that I would imagine that, you know, you don't just throw mm-hmm. culture and ethnicity in willy-nilly because you just want to make a choice.
Right.
So I would like to think that that's pretty mindful on their part to mm-hmm. say, you know what? It's an experience. It's how the lens through which they experience right. the world. But like I said, you don't have to throw tzatziki right. on the table, put a parrot on her shoulder.
Nor does she have to feel like an outcast just because she's different. Because right. we want to see robust characters, but that doesn't mean that we want to have to put these characters through pain
right.
just to see that maybe she has a little bit darker brown skin or right. something like right. that. So yeah, I get it. And that's just, it was one of my notes that I came up with. You know, I feel like nothing was missing from the story, from it not being there. It was just something I noticed.
Sure.
You know.
I mean, and I think, you know, if people want to say, like, well, they focused more on Elliot's family mm-hmm. and the ethnicity potentially of Elliot's family.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, they had to.
Right.
Because it's very clear that Macy's family is quote-unquote broken.
Right.
I mean, based on how the characters react, I think that they would say, yes, our family is broken.
Right.
And then, not to say that, you know, being Danish isn't a heritage, but it's certainly not the same, like, experientially as a person who is of color, a person right. who's Brazilian. So, of course, when you have an intact family unit who they are maybe, you know, ethnic in some way,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be experienced differently and related differently than a quote-unquote broken family right. unit.
No. Yeah. I get it. So one of the things with Elliot was that he was wonderful. I really loved him. He, like I said, he was his person. They had that young love. They really connected on so many different levels. But the way that they had the young love, like, they were teenagers when they fell in love, mm-hmm. then they weren't together, and then they reconnect, mm-hmm. and they have this immediate kind of spark still between them,
mm-hmm.
whether it's unresolved business or what it is, it was there on the page. But to you, did it read kind of as unrealistic at all?
I wouldn't say so. I think what was really interesting about it, you know, because I love, I'm not sure if this constitutes like a second chance romance. I suppose it does.
Mm-hmm.
I love any sort of situation where you've tried, mm-hmm. you've had to stop, and then you're trying again.
Mm-hmm.
But what was really interesting is enough time had passed, which mm-hmm. I can't recall ever reading a book where like 10 or more years mm-hmm. had passed, and she's looking at his body, and she's basically like, holy shit.
Right.
He was like learning about his body, mm-hmm. even still when he was 18, I believe.
Right.
You know, how much does an 18-year-old man know his body? He doesn't really.
Right.
So to be like almost 30, mm-hmm. and she's like looking at it like he's so comfortable in his skin, mm-hmm. and she's never seen him like that before.
Right.
I think that, you know, is, I mean, I speak for myself, I suppose, but like when you spend some time away from someone, mm-hmm. and then you see them again, if anything has changed, you're hypersensitive to that. And you're like, right. oh, shit. Like, mm-hmm. I love the way that he walks now, mm-hmm. or I love his new haircut. Or maybe you see this person, you know, interacting with their family or even their new partner, and you say, I love the way they're treating these people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's super, like, attractive.
Sure.
And potentially, like, imagine. So the way I see it is they're just now getting, like, involved sexually,
right.
at age 17 and 18. And then they have to abruptly stop.
Right.
Like, abruptly. And then she sees him even more, like, developed. Uh-huh. Like, with muscles. And I'm, right. like, and so it's like, yo, I already slept with this dude.
Right.
And now, like, things are, like, right. working.
Yeah.
I'm ready to dive in. Absolutely. Right. So I get that.
Yeah, because she left him as an 18-year-old boy who was growing into his body. And although he was really self-aware, particularly about sex things, mm-hmm. I felt, they were still only 17 and 18.
Right.
And then to see him as a man, mm-hmm. like a man. Yeah,
right.
She was really there for it. I thought it was written very well.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that I didn't like about Elliot, it's not his fault. You know, I just found it odd, the whole thing that he didn't know.
About
Duncan.
Oh.
Yeah. And that it just felt, which again, it's not his fault. It wasn't his fault specifically. But, you know, the book, it takes place current days. The flashbacks were 10, 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. To think that they didn't have access to some sort of technology to find or to learn about the incident. It just felt a little bit unbelievable to me. Again, it did not take away from my overall enjoyment.
Sure. I mean, I guess let me play devil's advocate and uh-huh. and say if he, you know, if Duncan, like, he would expect, you know, Duncan to just kind of be around, mm-hmm. and then to be like, oh, like, if you're not expecting it, mm-hmm. then you're not looking for it.
Right.
And so, I mean, if he had no reason to believe, I mean, I suppose in this day and age, you have this, your young love girlfriend, mm-hmm. and you haven't spoken to her in 11 years. I suppose you're going to Facebook her.
Right. Now, but not, what about then?
Yeah. I mean, how much of Elliot is so respectful of Macy's space, though?
That's true. That's very valid.
That he just would right. say, you know what, she hasn't after smoking to me for 6 months, a right. year, 2 years, to just go,
right.
I'm not even going to,
right.
you know, it may even have felt intrusive to him to do any sort of.
Well, yeah, now that you bring that up, because the thing happened, he probably felt, you know, some sort of way about that, maybe
yeah.
guilty or upset,
right.
and felt like, I really just ruined this.
Right. Even if I find her on right. Facebook and I see what she's saying.
Right.
It might just hurt my feelings.
Right. Yeah. Okay. See, that's what we had to talk about. And I don't want to ruin anybody's experience of it, but it was just, again, something that I noticed, but it didn't take away from my overall enjoyment of the
yeah,
book.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. So I see you have some notes there. Mm-hmm. Did you have anything else that you wanted to go over, kind of to touch on before we kind of wrap this up?
Well, I did want to talk about how... So I was reading it, and I was probably, like, 150 pages in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt like, okay, good. And then, you know, because of kind of, like, the realization of so many problems kind of conglomerating, mm-hmm. boom, 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 one right after another, I was like, oh, crap, this book is ending. This book is ending now.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't ready. And the reason I bring that up is because oftentimes – romance novels for me end before I want them to.
Uh-huh.
And the only book to date that I've read that's been a romance novel that I've had a really nice time reading it, like maybe they had great sex or a great relationship or mm-hmm. something important that I liked happened,
mm-hmm.
I looked down and I was like, oh, I'm only like 30% into the book mm-hmm. has been a Christina Loren book.
Okay.
And then I was like, so I was like awash with relief. Like mm-hmm. I have so much more book to go. And right. this is already so satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, I know that they've written a book that makes me feel like I can just kind of luxuriate in, mm-hmm. in the relationship, which arguably romance novels are short and quote unquote easy to read. Mm-hmm. So they go by so fast.
Right.
And, I felt like there was a nice build-up in story mm-hmm. until all the problems started happening. Right. And then it was like, ah!
Right.
And then I was almost concerned, based on my position in the book, mm-hmm. that not everything was going to get resolved before the end, which is like a weird feeling because mm-hmm. obviously it's a book. It's not right. like, you know, happening. So right. Obviously it has a resolution.
Right.
But I still have that like fear of like, no, mm-hmm. there's not enough time to explain everything fully.
Right.
You know, and maybe it's because, you know, those of us who... you know, Harry Potter, for example, you got eight movies.
Okay.
And like, you're like, okay, this story is too long to tell. So we'll do one movie mm-hmm. and then we'll do a second movie. Mm-hmm. But like at a certain point, you're like, you're running out of time.
Right.
Or, your show gets canceled. Mm-hmm. And so you have three episodes left and right. you have to put in all the things. It's like that feeling of right. like, they're not going to do the story justice.
Right.
It's the fear. That's obviously not what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at your little inch of book left, right. and you're like, no, right. like that's not a great feeling.
Yeah.
So inversely, the feeling from that book, the Christina Loren book that I mentioned, it was like, yes, now the rest of it mm-hmm. is just about the relationship.
Right.
So, I mean, take that as you will. You know, they're well-rounded writers.
They are well-rounded writers. I would say one of my criticisms of the book, though, is that I felt like, they led into it, they gave you all the problems, and then all of a sudden they were all solved and everything worked out. And I would have liked to have seen more on the page time
mm-hmm.
of Elliot and Macy exploring their adult love.
Sure. But I feel that.
But that's just me. So, you know, because we saw a lot of the present. A lot of the past. And in the present, we saw a lot of them reconnecting, which was great. But I would have liked to have explored that of them together. Like, they know how to be young people in love. They want to be adult people in love. I want to see them being adult people in love and making it work.
Sure. I mean, but arguably, like when you think of like a film, like a romantic film.
Don't bring logic into this conversation.
Well, but I'm saying like a lot of those films are like, we're trying to get together. Right, and then the happy ending is that they're together.
I know.
And that's what's unique about romance novels right. is the happy ending is kind of bookended by right. like, we're having sex, we're doing a relationship, we're having sex, we're doing a relationship. And at the end, it's like, we don't have that problem anymore.
Right.
Where the majority of depictions of love and romance that are non-sexual mm-hmm. are pursuit mm-hmm. or some sort of securing of a partner, mm-hmm. which is interesting from a sociological standpoint, but I won't go into that. but that's what's really great about romance uh-huh. is that you get to enjoy right. the relationship.
I know.
Which is arguably, is this not what separates women's fiction from a romance novel? Is you're going, here's the story part mm-hmm. to where to get them to the sex part.
Right.
Or what have you.
Right. Yeah, no, I know.
I'm just going to sit here and be like, no, arguably,
it's okay. It's okay.
Arguably devil's advocate.
That's just who I am, and that's fine, and we know that. So I pulled a couple of, like, quotes and things that I really wanted to bring up because even though this was a paper book and that was really hard, it wasn't hard. It was just a different experience.
Yeah, my cover's all weird, and I'm like, well, how did that happen?
Yeah, my cover's weird. I have dog-eared so many things. I've, like, circled things. You know, normally I would just highlight them in my Kindle.
Right.
So this was very different. But there were two really things that stood out to me in Macy's inner dialogue. So there was one, and again, you know, maybe I relate to Macy a little bit too much, but that's neither here nor there. But there was this one inner dialogue. So she says, she's thinking about it, and she's like, I didn't like where this was heading. This was heading to admissions, and admissions changed things. Admissions make feelings intensify simply because they are given space to breathe.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, Macy. Girl, don't I know. but no, and I just really enjoyed her inner dialogue, and I thought she was a great heroine. And then I had one more, and I'll let you think about this. So there's an intensity between us that has always been there. It used to make me trust that he's my person and I'm his. And now he's left his girlfriend for it. I've left my fiance. But in truth, we've been back in touch for a single month after 11 years in the wilderness. His best friend in the other room is a stranger to me. And the woman who just left knows more about Elliot's heartbreak than I do. We are still so messy. And I feel like that kind of like... the whole story kind of right there kind of like goes around that. Like there was an intensity about them, but they were so messy, much like real people.
Yeah.
And real love, like, you know, it can be so strong and you can be away from each other and then come back together. And for these two, it was like immediate. It was just... we are still each other's person.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the point that you're making now is kind of what hits me with it, is like there's an amount of suspension of disbelief to say like they are back together.
Right.
They will be back together because that's what they believe.
Right.
That's why they're doing this.
Right.
And I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
It ends. It always ends. Everything always ends. You know, I mean, relationships end, and because of one reason or another. So like what the reader has to do is, I mean, I don't even have to believe that they're going to last, but I have to believe that they want to be together. And that's
right.
That's what you have to believe.
Right. And like I said, some of those little quibbles that I had with it, they didn't take away the fact that I believed they want to be together.
Sure.
And really, that's really all that matters.
But I'm like not necessarily, I mean, as much as I enjoy a happily ever after person.
Right.
I am excited that these folks have a chance.
Right.
That's all I care. Right. Like that they've given themselves a chance. Mm-hmm. And like that in my own personal relationships, if I'm seeking out a relationship with a person for the second time.
Right.
It's because I felt like the first relationship, the first iteration, didn't have enough of a chance.
Right.
And so that's great if both parties are like, let's try.
Right.
That's fantastic.
Right. And that's really, I think that's really what they got to. And I think one of the big things that separates women's fiction from romance is in women's fiction, it tends to be more about the heroine's journey.
Sure.
Right. So, and along the way, perhaps she finds love or rediscovers love or something like that. So this definitely was Macy's journey. So, and Elliot was a huge part of that.
Yeah.
But also by Elliot's reappearance in her life, it forced her to look and examine her own life and some of the choices that she had made or was passively making. And kind of come to terms with some of like the grief things that she hadn't really been paying attention to.
Right.
Because we know that, you know, grief is ugly and it's stupid. And when given the opportunity to not deal with some of those things, it's way easier not to.
No.
You know, and then again, because all of that is tied up with her grief of the loss of her mother, her loss of her father, the loss of Elliot, you know, even though that was temporary, it turns out. But yeah, I mean, overall, it was a great read. I read it over two nights.
Mm-hmm.
It was fast. It was sweet. It was sexy, but it wasn't like body parts sexy.
Sure, sure.
Right? Like,
it was brain sexy.
Brain sexy, right.
That's my favorite kind.
Yes, yes. But yeah. Any last, you know, wrap up words for you?
No, I mean, on Goodreads, I was like grappling with my rating and I was like, people employ half stars. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to do that. And I gave it 3.5 stars.
Okay.
Because it's not traditionally something that I would read, but I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would read other books by the author and I would read even more. I would read more women's fiction by the authors as well.
Mm-hmm.
So 3.5 stars is where I am with it. That's a good rating for me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I would probably give it 4 stars. Okay. I'm more generous than you usually in that aspect, not in other aspects.
No, in all aspects of life.
But I really liked it. Like I said, I read romance fiction more than you do. Obviously, I read romance more than you do. So this is really in my lane. And, you know, the grief stuff aside, it wasn't the worst book I've ever read.
No.
I've read some other books that had, like, some things that really connected with my grief that really I hated about them.
Sure.
This wasn't one of them, so I think that's a good sign.
Yes.
Yes. So that really about wraps up this review discussion of this book. You know, I appreciate you coming in, and I you know, chatting with me and, of course, taking the time to read the book, which,
Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, when I got the note from that, from Kristen, I was so excited.
Yeah.
I was like, as long as we can get two books, because I don't know if we can commit to one of us reading it and then the other one, but it worked out fine.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think we'll both kind of look forward to seeing more of what Christina Lauren offers us, whether it's women fiction, romance, erotic romance, what have you.
Definitely.
All right. Well, thanks again, Corey. And I'm sure, you know, maybe around June-ish, July-ish, we'll have you back, touch base, see how things are going.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Romance Romp is produced by Graham Cullen and me. Music by Kelsey Luce. Join me on Tuesday, May 1st for an episode with Anna Koki where we talk about hashtag rom book love. And again, thank you to Wonderbook and Video for their sponsorship.